Well, a very good evening from a very, well, cool Indianapolis, Indiana. The Christmas edition, or almost Christmas edition, of the Sports Lounge Live. Turn it over to Chris. How are you?
Ho, ho, ho. hello, everybody. And, you know, we got there's three of us here, and we earlier in the week decided that I would be Simon and Perry would be Theodore, and, of course, our troublemaker Sean would be Alvin, because I think that works the best. Yeah, typecasting. And also, this is edition number 21, so that's why I'm having an adult beverage here during this, because it's number 21. Why not? And it's Christmas time, and I don't have to work tomorrow, and hope nobody
does.
Our
show's legal.
Our show is now legal. That's right. And our show's legal, and not only that, I hope nobody has to work, and we know the many federal workers don't, whether they like it or not. Anyway, Sean, go for it.
All right. First of all, like I said, happy Christmas Eve. And also those of you Seinfeld fans, of course, today is Festivus for the rest of us, if you remember that episode. But all right. If you want to leave us any comments throughout the week, call 773-572-7715 and hit the pound key. Do not mark the message private. That way the three of us can hear it. Also, Ringside Robert and the Ringside Reporter, go to ringsidereporter.com or 773-572-7781. I also have Shooting the Bleep with Sean, if you're a fan of pro wrestling. Tomorrow's update out, we'll be talking about the inductees into the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. That is 773-572-7867. I have not plugged that in a while. And if you want the bowl schedule, or if you want XM NFL games, go to 641-715-3800, enter 36867 pound, and then follow the correct prompts. The bowls are on the Sirius option, but you know, you'll get XM NFL, XM College, other stuff out there. So, you know, that will direct you to where you can go. And it is week 16 in the NFL, so Perry, we had some exciting games. Let's get right to it.
We absolutely did, and we'll go through these, and then, of course, the callers can weigh in after we go through all the games.
Oh, yeah, by the way, yeah, that is right. Star 6, mute you, unmute you. You heard the phone number at the beginning.
Yes. So let's start with yesterday, Titans 25, Redskins 16. That was a – the game was actually closer than that, but that was the final score, and the Titans did what they had to do.
They did, and Josh Johnson actually played pretty well. I was asking my friend Rick, because I had no idea. I mean, where did this guy come from? He said he hardly played anywhere, but he, you know, and I don't even remember if he couldn't remember either if Sanchez got hurt or they just benched him or what. But Josh Johnson actually played a pretty good game. The question
I think they benched him because he was so bad.
He was bad. The question is, where does Mariota stand for next week? Because I know he was banged up in that game. Does anybody know if he's going to play or not, or what his injury was?
I have not heard whether he's going to play. He fell on his throwing shoulder is what the injury was. But okay. I have not heard his status for next week.
Okay, because that's important, because we're going to be talking about the schedule, and that's going to be probably an elimination game on Sunday night, and we'll talk about that. But Mariota being out, but that knocked the Redskins out, and crazy season for the Redskins. They looked like they were going to do it, but then when Alex Smith got hurt, that really knocked the train off the tracks for them.
Yes, it certainly did. Then we had probably what people, I wouldn't say it's an upset. I don't think you really have upsets in the NFL, but I think most people probably would have projected the Chargers in this game, but it was not. Ravens 22, Chargers 10. There again, that game was close the whole way, and the Ravens pulled it out in the end, but it was close. You figured it probably would be, and the Chargers, you have to win your home games. That's just the way it is.
You do. But the problem with the Chargers, of course, is they don't have a home field advantage. And I'm not saying there were a bunch of Raven fans there. I didn't actually hear
there
the
actually were. There actually were Raven fans there.
Yes, there were. There were a lot of Raven fans there.
There you go. And that's what happens to the Chargers because the L.A. is ignoring them pretty much. But, you know, I did not hear a minute of that game. But I do know that it was very important for the Ravens, as we'll outline when we get to the standings portion here when we talk about our playoff issues. And boy, the Ravens are in good shape now.
Today we had Vikings 27, Lions 9. The Vikings played not a real good first half, but they had a Hail Mary right at the end of the first half to Kyle Rudolph at the right at the end of the half, and the second half was much better than the first for the Vikes.
It was. They asserted control, and that's what you tend to do against your division foes. You know, you kind of know who they are, and you can kind of figure it out as the game goes along, and they did what they had to do. The Lions put up a fight, but they kind of made the point on NFL radio that after the first half, and here the Lions had really worked hard, and they were behind 14-9, I think, at halftime, and they kind of said, are they going to, like, kind of mail it in the second half? And I think they kind of did.
I think they kind of did, too. And the Vikings, of course, still control their own destiny, but they do have to play a rivalry game next week, and you can never – that does have a little bit of meaning for the Bears, too. So we'll see what happens
there. Oh,
it does.
It sure does. It absolutely does.
Falcons 24, Panthers 10. That says officially goodbye to the Panthers.
Yeah, Panthers are gone, and the Falcons won that one. And, you know, of course, Cam Newton wasn't playing. And what was his name?
Taylor Heineke.
Taylor Heineke. So those who drink Heineken enjoyed watching that game, apparently. Anyway, they had a nice drive at the beginning of the game, scored right away, and that was it for the Panthers. They were gone. Really, they collapsed. They have lost seven in a row, I think it is, since they met the Steelers there in about midseason, and the Steelers handed them their lunch. That's been it for the Panthers. And Newton's been, we got to admit, and I mentioned this 3 or 4 weeks ago, Newton's been banged up the last 3 or 4 weeks. And McCaffrey could only do so much, and he did a lot this year. He's not going to get it, but arguably the MVP. He really had a great season, but, you know, he's not going to get it. But still, I mean, they just really ended up collapsing, and the Falcons just didn't ever get it together either. So it's just one of those years for both of them.
And it's possible that Ron Rivera, I don't know how likely, but it's possible he's one of those names that we hear next Monday that may not be back. We'll have to see.
Next week we can kind of talk about the teams that are out of the playoffs and give our speculation after the because we'll only have like one game left when we come on next week, and we can give our speculation as to who's going to, not just what our thoughts are. We run down the teams that are out of the playoffs and see who we think is going to stay or not. And we'll be wrong half the time, but that's okay because it's just it's sports radio. Who cares?
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Patriots 24, Bills 12. Chris, you probably caught more of that game than I did.
I did. Well, the deal with the Patriots is their offense is not hitting on all cylinders. Now, they were able to run against the Bills. They got over 270 yards of rushing. Sony Michel and James White, and they did very well. However, they're not going to be able to do that against other playoff teams. One thing it did a few things. First of all, they won them the division for the 10th year in a row, which is certainly unprecedented in the NFL. Number two, they're in the playoffs again for 16 years out of 18 years with Brady and Belichick, but really 16 out of 17 because you have to take out the 2008 season because Brady only played 10 minutes and got hurt. So really 16 out of 17, and that's again unprecedented in NFL history for a coach and a quarterback to be together that long, I think, and B, to go to the playoffs that much. And they now have it in front of them. They can win against the Jets and have the number two seed because of Houston's loss to the Eagles that we'll talk about later. But the thing is that Scott Zolak thinks there's something wrong with his knee. He says he's not planting right. And the passes, when he doesn't get to plant when they're rushing him and he doesn't get to that extra second to put his foot down, that his passes are sailing. So this is something to look forward to. That's why it's all important for the Patriots to get that number two seed. Given another week, it might help. You know, obviously he can get out on the field, so it's not totally serious. It might be like the Aaron Rodgers situation where you give it a couple of weeks off and, you know, you can come back. And Rodgers certainly continued to play all year with it. So, but it was a good win. in that they didn't look good offensively, but the defense actually looked pretty good. But Buffalo, I got to tell you, the Patriots are going to have competition starting next year because Josh Allen and Sam Darnold are very good quarterbacks, and Buffalo is going to get some weapons. They're going to go out there and they're going to sign folks. The Jets have room in the salary cap. They're going to get some people, and the Patriots are not.
Probably a new coach.
And a new coach, yes. Buffalo will not. The Jets will. And the thing is that the Patriots will have some real competition in this division, and depending on how Brady is doing it, now at that time 42 years old, you know, we'll see. But right now, and Gronk is very banged up right now, too. He certainly needs the rest. So all important for the Patriots to win on next Sunday against the Jets. And if they do, they will get the number two seed.
And I would project that they probably will win that game.
They should.
Browns 26, Bengals 18. The game meant nothing, but the Browns did get another win.
Browns are 7-7-1, and they're, you know, if they win on, which they is doubtful they will, because the Ravens are going to need that game next week. But if the Browns win, they would have a winning season. Who would have thought? Who'd have thunk it, as they say? And you know, I'm telling you, Darnold. We talked about Darnold and Josh Allen, but the best rookie quarterback is Baker Mayfield. And
He's definitely the best. Yeah, he's. So I've been watching him play since his sophomore year of high school.
He's the rookie of the year, and you know the Browns are going to be contenders from now on. You know that's the key, to have a quarterback, and there you go. So the Browns are going to be right in the mix in that division from now on.
Never count out those teams in Week 17, though, who can spoil it for somebody else either.
So. Oh yes. Oh, the Browns are going to be a tough opponent for the Ravens. Oh no. The Ravens would much rather be playing the Bengals at this point than the Browns. I mean, the Browns are a tough opponent with a positive attitude. They would love a winning season and to beat. Yeah, and Modell's gone now, but still, for Browns fans to beat the Ravens,
that would be Christmas a little few days late.
Yep.
Another game that meant nothing, but I guess you have to give some kudos to the Packers. They finally showed up in the game. They were trailing by 15. They came back and beat the Jets 44-38 in overtime. Like I say, for playoffs and everything, it didn't mean anything. But you know what? When you're down by 15, it would have been easy. Let's just get out of here. But they came back and won the game.
That's true. And, you know, damaged me in the football contest, you know, that we're having, but whatever. Me and my friend Rick, the thing is that Darnold came down and got that tying field goal drive. And that's a good thing. I mean, you got to do those things, too. It was 38-35. He came down with a minute and a half to go and got that field goal. So, again, he's showing that he's the real deal. And he's got a few more weapons than Josh Allen, so he's been able to show more. But, you know, this division, Tannehill is going to be the odd man out. And we'll get to Miami in a minute. But Miami is, it never works for Miami.
Chris, that's the next game on the list. Jaguars 17, Dolphins 7. What slim hopes the Dolphins had were eliminated today.
You can't go around and be at home and lose to the Jaguars like that. You just can't. The Jaguars are a bad team. And you, as the Dolphins, and again, I know that, you know, a little bit of my divisional rivalry hatred thing against the Dolphins over the years comes out. But the Dolphins forever come up a day late and a dollar short. And they once again did it. Actually, they weren't even saying on the radio that the Dolphins had lost before the Patriots won the game, but because that actually eliminated the Dolphins and won the Patriots the division. But the Dolphins just, you know, Tannehill is always hurt, and we'll talk about the Eagles too. You got to think about something with them too, with the same connection. But I'm telling you, Tannehill's always hurt. They always come up a day late and a dollar short, right around Christmas or New Year's. They're knocked out of the playoffs again. Really, they didn't even win that game 2 weeks ago. The Patriots let them hang around and they lost. I'm not talking about the miracle play. That can happen sometimes. Not talking about that specific play. They shouldn't have even been in the position they were in. The Patriots had that game. The play got away from them, but they let the Dolphins hang around. That was just a silly game for the Patriots to have lost. But the Dolphins finally are out, and that's, you know, the way it should be, because they really are a mediocre team. And Tannehill's a mediocre, oft-injured quarterback.
And you mentioned the Eagles, Chris. So, I mean, we'll see when we're talking about the Eagles, let's see if you can mention the next one coming up, too, in your comments.
we'll see if I'm going to roll here.
The Eagles win over the Texans today 32-30 in a back-and-forth game. That was
It was a
really good game because the Eagles got up, the Texans came back and took the lead.
Yep.
But in the end, Merrill Reese was very happy in the end.
He was. And the thing is, Nick Foles is, I think, and should be, and this is just me, I think he should be the Eagles quarterback. I think this whole thing with Carson Wentz, his injuries, he's up and down. Now, but they've got issues because Foles is a free agent coming up. So they have to decide what they want to do.
And 2 years ago, Nick Foles was going to quit. Two or 3 years ago, he was going to quit because of Jeff Fisher and Andy Reid talked him into staying.
Then he got back to the Eagles again, and he won the Super Bowl. He won, got him through the Bowl. You can argue that Wentz got him pretty much there, but Foles had to win those games. He had to, beat the Falcons and the Vikings and the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. I mean, Wentz hasn't done that. I'm not saying it's his fault, but he's been injured, and we know from people like Sam Bradford and people like that, there are guys who just get injured a lot, and you've got to really watch that. And so I just really think the Eagles have a very interesting offseason coming up, and they're still in the playoff hunt, but and I think they're better off right now with Nick Foles.
And if the Eagles don't pay him, somebody will.
Oh yeah.
Will. Yep. So now, Chris, do you know who the next one is?
Let's see. Is it late enough for it to be the Rams?
It is not. We still have to talk about that wild game in Indianapolis.
Oh yeah.
The Colts 28 and the Giants 27. And
well, the Colts
again,
did what. Yeah, as the Colts did what Hank Stram used to talk about, keeps on wood, and that's what the Colts did. They were behind. Nothing was happening on offense, and they couldn't get the defense together. They played a horrible first half, but they kept going, kept sawing wood, as Hank would say, and they came back and won that game. The offense kicked in, and the defense did too. Very important win because it puts them in the elimination game probably on Sunday night with Tennessee.
Maybe our resident Colt expert has something to say on this.
The only thing I'm going to say is it was a great comeback, and it goes to what Chris keeps saying. If you have a good quarterback, this was a team last year was, number three in the draft, the number three worst team, and what are they now?
Yep. That's right. They're 9-6 is what they are. That's right. And Andrew Luck is a great quarterback. He wasn't there last year. That's why they were where they were. And that's the point. Everybody knew that the Colts would be a much better team this year. We didn't think they'd be 9-6, maybe, 7-8 or something. But they're 9-6, and if they just taken that tie, I'm telling you, if they don't make the playoffs, that's going to be on that coach because they didn't take the tie that was in front of them that time. And against who was that against? Was it Tennessee or was it was somebody in the division? I can't remember. And remember they went for their fourth down play that time?
That was Houston. That was against Houston.
Yeah. So if they'd be 9-5-1 right now. Yeah, but they're not.
The games next week, all of those three teams, any of them could be in or out with the Texans,
right.
Titans, and Colts. So, if you want a division that is really in a position to mean something, the AFC South is your division because any of those three teams could be in or out at the end of the day.
That's right. But the Colts would be in that much better position if they had that tie. They just would. They really have a lot going for them right now. So people are going to forget about it because it was like week three or whatever it was. But I'll tell you, that was a bad move to go for that fourth down play that time. But since then, the Colts have played very well. So we'll see what happens. But they got to go to Tennessee. But we don't know about Blaine Gabbert. Marcus Mariota, maybe Blaine Gabbert going against them. So we'll see.
The Cowboys, by the way, we can't get to the late games yet. The Cowboys.
No, not yet. How about them Cowboys?
They win the NFC East 27-20 and – good for them. You have to wonder, though, is it really time for the Buccaneers to move on from Jameis Winston? You just have to wonder.
I think so. I think it is. It's
well,
time.
The problem is they've got to get one of those quarterbacks out there because I don't know that Fitzpatrick is up and down, so they have to get and I don't think there's a lot of college quarterbacks out there that really cut them
year.
Up there, do they?
No.
No.
They might be one of those teams, though, if the Eagles don't pay Foles, they might be one of those teams that might look at him.
That's right.
Yep,
they might.
There's not much in the college draft, which as we get closer to that, we will talk about the draft and all that.
Another thing, I don't know what Joe Flacco's status is, but you see Lamar Jackson doing what he does with Baltimore. Joe Flacco could be around too.
It sounds like, though, that he may be, because it sounds like this is Lamar Jackson's team going forward, if you believe.
I think so.
Now we're into the late games.
And all right, here we go.
The Rams did what they had to do. You knew this would not be a close game. Yes. They beat the Cardinals 31-9, and as you'd expect, it was a blowout.
Yes, and the Rams are, Todd Gurley, though, is injured and was out again, and that's a problem. You don't want to go forward. That's really their big offensive weapon. Goff is very good, but he really needs Gurley. And, they got 31 on the Cardinals, but what are they going to do against Seattle or Philadelphia or whoever they might have to meet in the first round,
Bears 14, 49ers 9. The fisticuffs came out in this game. Those two teams, they had a nice big fight in the game. But, there again, the Bears, they did what they had to do.
That's right. And that's the key to a good team, is you do what you have to do. And then, we saw that again with the Colts today. We saw that with the Patriots. We saw that with the Rams. I mean, you maybe aren't playing your A game, but you get it done and you move on. And, and the Bears, we'll get to the standings here in a minute, but the Bears still have something to play for. They could get the number two seed.
They certainly could. And then in probably what might have been the game of the late games, I guess, Saints 31, Steelers 28, that puts the Steelers in some hot water for next week.
They're a little bit in trouble.
Basically, it looks like they have to win the division. I can't see how, unless they get really lucky with a tie, that they can, because we got Tennessee and the Colts squaring off. And I think the Steelers are there again with having that tie that they had against the Browns. That puts them half a game behind. If they had won that game, they'd be 9-6 and they'd all be 9-6 right now.
And of course, with that win, the Saints are the number one seed. That they have nothing that they can do next week, so they're the number one seed.
Yep, that's right. So looking at games.
We still have to. Chiefs and the Seahawks, that game is just underway.
Yep.
And tomorrow at 8:15 on Christmas Eve, the Broncos and the Raiders will be your game. And speaking
it's
of the
not
Raiders,
a wonderful life.
It is
it's
not
a wonderful of, life. You can watch the Christmas story. You can watch all kinds of
stuff. We have a question. That reminds me.
Hold on, Sean. Speaking of the Raiders, apparently there is a wild possibility for next year, and this was just mentioned today. The Raiders may play all of their home games next year in London. I know that may not be the most likely, but it sounds like at least it's a possibility they may play all of their home games in London.
And that ties in to a message that we had from Ringside Robert.
Right.
About the Raiders, the reason that this is probably the last game in Oakland is suing the NFL. And it's probably not going to hold up because they have a year-to-year lease. And Mark Davis is thinking, why should I pay $7 million to the city of Oakland? I'm basically funding their lawsuit. There's also talks of them playing in San Francisco at AT&T Park, Stanford. There's even talk of the Sam Boyd Stadium in Vegas.
They may play
Berkeley.
Yep, or apparently even at the 49ers, Santa Clara.
Yeah, Levi Stadium. I don't think they played AT&T, but Levi, yeah.
Well, there was a mention of AT&T.
Okay.
A mention of that.
All right. So now,
Chris, we can get into those standings.
Standings.
That may get some conversation going.
Well, we have the Patriots.
By the way, can call in 646-876-9923 or download the Zoom app. And you can enter the code 287-723-4600. Hit the pound key twice. *6 mutes you and unmutes you. *9 raises your hand if you want to ask us a question.
Okay, so the Patriots won their division again, and they're 10-5. If they win next week, they'll be the number two seed. Although, I don't actually know what happens if the Chiefs lose both of these games. And then they're all 10-11-5. I don't know what happens with the tiebreakers and all that, and even the Chargers get in that mix. So I can't exactly tell you who'd end up where, but the way it most logically would be, if the Patriots win that, looking at it with them against the Houston, they would win the number two seed. But I really don't know.
If they win next week, they are the number two seed.
Okay.
Yes.
But the question is, what happens if the Chiefs, remember, they beat the Chiefs, but they didn't play Houston. So if they all ended up in a three-way tie?
Chiefs and Chargers, either one, are the number one seed, no matter what it is, whether they're explaining it.
Okay. That's fine. So if the Patriots win, they're the number two seed. Okay. Miami, as we said, was out. Buffalo and the Jets already are. Pittsburgh, damaging loss. They're now 8-6-1. And Baltimore is 9-6. So this means if Baltimore wins next Sunday against the Browns, they're going to win the division. And the Steelers have to, hope for a Ravens loss, because if they go to 9-6-1, most likely Tennessee or the Colts will be 10-6 and they won't get in. So this really hurt the Steelers. The Browns, after a valiant effort, are 7-7-1. Good for them. They don't make the playoffs, but a lot to build on. The Bengals are still, even though it says 6-9 here, they're worse than that. They're horrible. Houston at 10-5 did not win the division. So again, somebody could tie them. And I don't know how, obviously one of them could have the edge of them. Do you know, Sean, as a Texans fan, whether they want Tennessee or the Colts to win that division, who they have the edge on?
I think they have the old edge on Tennessee because they have the edge on Indianapolis, I believe, right now, is what I'm saying, because okay. They beat them twice.
Okay, because the deal is they could go to 10-6. They could all end up at, two of them will end up at 10-6 because, again, Tennessee and the Colts will be playing. So they're going to two of them are going to be at 10-6 if Houston were to lose. If they win next week against Jacksonville, which they should, but so should Miami have done, they would win their division. So, again, they control their fate as far as getting the division anyhow.
I think Bill was trying to get in. Yeah, was I correct, Bill?
Yeah, correction. Yeah. The Colts beat Houston 2 weeks ago. So.
Oh, they did. Okay. That's right. They did win 2 weeks ago. So really, it's either way. It is a weird mess.
Okay,
right.
But did Houston beat the Colts earlier in the year?
They did earlier in that the
right.
one that
so
would have gone
the divisional record and all that stuff. So we don't know that, but either way, the best thing for Houston to do is to win. That's like a good idea.
That's the best thing for all three of the teams to do is just win
that's
and
true.
Play out.
Figure it out later.
Well, only two of them can win. Only two of them can win because
that's right. That's right.
And Andy plays us.
But whatever fan you are, that's the best thing for your team to do is win.
Yeah, good idea. Okay, Chiefs again going into tonight's game 11-3. Chargers now 11-4. Again, the Chiefs can win their division and win the number one seed by winning tonight. We know that. That's clear. It doesn't mean they're going to do it. If they don't, it creates all the extra confusion where they could end up at 11-5 with everybody else, and we'll all sort it out later. Then in the NFC, Dallas won their division by winning today, so they're 9-6. Eagles stayed alive though. They're 8-7, and they're still in the wild card mix. Redskins were eliminated yesterday. Giants already out of it. In the North, the Bears are now 11-4, and they're still in the hunt for the number two spot. Minnesota is now 8-6-1, so they've got a little bit of an edge there on the Eagles. So if Minnesota wins next week, they would, I'm sure, eliminate the Eagles. Let's see what else we got here in that division. Okay, New Orleans is now the number one seed in the NFC. We know that there. And by the way, Dallas is the number four seed in the NFC because they're 9-6 and they cannot challenge the Bears or the Rams. So and the New Orleans is number one. So we know two things. We know in the NFC we really only know two positions in these playoffs would be New Orleans at one and Dallas at four. Then we have the rest of that division that's out of it. In the West, the Rams are now 12-3, again, ahead of the Bears right now. But if they lose and the Bears win, the Bears get the number two seed because the Bears beat them earlier. And Seattle's at 8-6. So, again, if they win their next two games, they definitely get in. But if they lose tonight, then they're in a mix with the Eagles. And I don't know what the Eagles and Seahawks tiebreaker situation is or anything like that. So we'll have to see about that. But if Seattle can win those two games, they'll get in, but they got to play Kansas City tonight. So that's an important game tonight coming up.
And there's a lot of important games for next week. And I would bet
there are, and
I'll bet you're going to tell us about those. But before, while Chris is getting ready, well, let's just warn you, he is going to give you the schedule as it is now. It is likely that some of these times will change a little bit. We've heard that the most likely scenario is that Tennessee and Indianapolis will be will be the night game. We don't know that to be true, so we're not going to, we won't tell you that that's fact, but that is very likely.
Another thing, just to give a guideline, they like to have games that have to do with each other at the same time. So I'm not saying anything's going to move to a different time. But, for example, they would like the Patriots and Houston to be playing at the same time because they don't want a team to just hold up and say, oh, we don't have to worry about this, you know, so we're just going to, you know, play it out in the middle of a game. So, you know, we see that this team's way ahead. So they try to do games that have to do with each other at the same time. But I'll read you the way it's scheduled right now. And all they did was do it by time as far as both networks have doubleheaders, by the way. So this is the way it's set up at the moment. And some of these games clearly will not change, but three or four could. Miami at Buffalo, 1 p.m. Nothing's going to happen to that. Detroit at Green Bay, also 1 p.m. By the way, Fox for that. The second one, Miami and Buffalo, CBS, Detroit and Green Bay, Fox. Indianapolis at Tennessee. We expect that to be the Sunday night game at 8:20 on NBC, but right now it's a 1 o'clock game scheduled on CBS. Oakland at Kansas City is 1 o'clock right now on CBS. Chicago at Minnesota, 1 p.m. on Fox. Have a feeling, and the Bears fan announcers did too, that could move to later because of the Rams game. The Jets are at the Patriots, 1 p.m. on CBS. They do like to have something at 1 o'clock. Doesn't all have to be at 4:25. Part of it depends, too, on how what happens with the Kansas City game tonight. But they may leave Houston and the Patriots at 1 o'clock to settle that at that point. Carolina at New Orleans, 1 p.m. on Fox. That doesn't mean anything. Dallas at the Giants, 1 p.m. on Fox. That doesn't mean anything. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh, 1 p.m. on CBS. As we know, the Steelers need to win, and again, hope for help from the Browns of all people. That was so funny tonight. Right at the end of the Steelers game, they were talking about that. We got to get help from the Browns, you know, or there's still a rivalry there with the Browns, and it's going to become a lot better rivalry now that the Browns are a good team. Okay, we got Atlanta at Tampa Bay, 1 p.m. on Fox. That's when that'll be. Nobody is going to care about that. Philadelphia at Washington, 1 p.m. on Fox, and we'll have to see what they do to that. Cleveland at Baltimore, 1 p.m. on CBS. That was the also-ran maybe for the Sunday night game. So they could move those to 4:25, those Cleveland and Pittsburgh games. We'll see. Jacksonville at Houston, 1 p.m. on CBS. Again, we'll see what they do. The Chargers at Denver. 4:05 on CBS. Does it say 4:25? I'm sorry, on CBS. Yeah, and that'll stay there. Of course, it's a late game, and so will San Francisco at the Rams. Even though it's meaningless, no, it's not. The Rams need to win that game. The Rams still need to win. Yep, that's 4:25. And the last one, Arizona at Seattle, also at 4:25. So all they've done is schedule them by time, and then three or four games will be moving around, and we'll find that out probably about tomorrow or Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, but they'll try to get – probably tomorrow. So try to get that information
probably tomorrow,
out
because Denver-Oakland is not
and
really
– And it's very right possible then. We may know – they may have it decided at the end of the Chiefs game tonight. They may tell us.
They may. So there's your NFL stuff.
And there's your NFL. Bill,
get crazy. Anybody? And, of course, next week, by now, next week, we will have the information on hopefully the playoff seeds, except for whatever the Sunday night game is. And we'll be able to tell you a lot more than we can right now.
So before we get to other things, Bill, do we have anybody who wants to
Let's start on
the NFL?
Let's start with our friend from the area code 708 by the name of Jamal.
Jamal.
Jamal, are you with us, buddy?
Jamal.
Calling Jamal.
Are you muted, Jamal? Try to.
Let me see it.
Jamal?
Give him a second. No, he's
good radio,
already,
Jamal.
But.
Thank you.
That's good. Yeah. Well, we'll come back to Jamal. Anybody else while we're getting Jamal?
Let's see. Pam Francis in Kansas City, ready to go.
Hey, Pam.
All right, hey. Pam.
What's up? Hey, guys, I just wanted to make a comment. You were talking about Oakland having the possibility of playing their home games in London.
Yeah.
Along with other possibilities that you mentioned. If they actually went through with something like that, in my opinion, they would not have a snowball chance in hot place of doing too much, only because of all of the jet lag and the scheduling and the mess.
I think that's the least likely. Pam, I think that's the least likely alternative. I think that they'll play in the Bay Area somewhere at Cal or Stanford or Levi's Stadium or some or AT&T
or Sam Boyd Stadium in Vegas.
But we do
how
know
big, how big is
do,
that?
We do know though that the NFL
it's bigger than the soccer stadium in LA.
Okay.
We do know though that the NFL likes to do some cockamamie things, so don't be shocked if that happens.
They'll get a lot of money, and so will the other teams in the division, because they'll all have to go over there. Everybody who has to go over there is going to get a bunch of money if
Correct.
They're playing the Raiders in a home game. So there is that, and they'll also try to a lot of those games will be at 1 o'clock Eastern because they don't like they'll do a couple of those 9:30s. Whatever. It'll be crazy if they do it. But
the other option would be the Raiders and the Cowboys are the two most popular teams in Mexico City. That's another
right.
option.
That's right. Well, they have to get that set up before the wall's built because they have to get there.
Actually, hold on just a second, Pam. Actually, they do have to get that has to be decided by the end of January. Wherever.
Correct.
It has to be decided by the end of January.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
My only other comment to that would be let's hope that Mexico City would have their field straightened out.
Well, that's true, too. That's a good point,
Pam,
because we did have a problem a few weeks ago with that. So, yep. You got that right.
That's true.
So that
kind
of puts them a little behind the eight ball compared to some of these other possibilities. But, boy, that's like seven or eight possibilities. We'll have to see what happens.
Absolutely. Anybody else?
We got Jerry hanging out in Indiana.
Oh, all right,
Jerry.
I'm sure Jerry is a little bummed tonight with the Steelers.
Yeah, tough loss by the Steelers. Yeah, it is ironic. We need help from the Browns. Oh, my. That was
their rivalry. I'll tell you what happens. It's hard here to get goofballs around here to realize that sometimes when you're chasing another team in the division, you have to root for the Yankees. It really is hard to get these people's minds. You know, some people just locked into these things. But, I'll tell you. That division is going to get very interesting with the Browns improving and the Raiders. Steelers are always good. Ravens are good. And, Cincinnati, we'll see what they do finally about Marvin Lewis. Maybe they can move on from him. And we might have a really that division has a lot of potential. Everybody has. That and the NFC East, I think, are the toughest rivalries in football.
Not only Marvin Lewis, Chris. I don't know what you've heard locally, Jerry, but it sounds like if the Steelers don't make the playoffs, it sounds like Tomlin is in trouble again.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Well, Peter King was on with Dale Arnold and those guys on EEI a couple weeks ago, as he is every week, and he said, because they asked him that, the Steelers didn't make the playoffs. He said he thought that that just the way the Steelers do things, because they've only had three coaches since 1969, that they would tend to hang on to them, but I don't know. It's maybe there'd be a situation about coordinators and assistants and all that other stuff. But no, you could be right. You never know.
Anybody else, Bill? Did we ever get Jamal? Jamal, are you with us now?
Hello.
There you are.
There's Jamal.
What's going on?
Well, I'm happy about the Bears winning, although it was a bit of an adventure in San Francisco.
That's okay. A win is a win.
A win's a win, as I tell people. You know, somebody I know was like, I'm nervous about them. I'm like, what are you nervous for? So they're trailing 3-0. Big deal, you know. But I'm hoping that the Rams, that the 49ers could win next week. And the Bears could end up with the number two.
Well, Jamal, that's going to be the Bears and the Vikings, that's always a rivalry. So that should be a decent game next week.
And the Vikings need the game, too, because, of course, if they win, they probably would get in the playoffs because they're 8-6-1. If they win, they'd beat out the Eagles. So it depends on where Seattle is after tonight, too. But yeah, the Vikings are going to need it. The Bears are going to need it. So I think that's a no brainer 425 game. I think that's going to be a 425 game.
But the Steelers game. I checked out the Steelers game after the Bears game. That was a hell of a game.
Yeah, it really was.
So That was probably one of the better games during the entire season, in my opinion.
So, Jamal, on Saturday, you're a Clemson fan, right?
Well, I don't mind Clemson. I have nothing against them.
I'm guessing, though, Jamal, you don't want Alabama.
No.
And you certainly don't want Notre Dame.
You certainly don't want Notre Dame. That's why I'm saying
Alabama final.
That's why I'm saying I expect him to be a Clemson fan on Saturday because they're playing Notre Dame first game, 4 o'clock. We'll get into college football and some of the bowls, but that's the 4 o'clock game, Eastern on Saturday.
And that is a good transition. Thank you there. A good transition.
We got one more caller.
Okay. All right. That's
from area code 504, I do believe.
Jim in New Orleans.
What up? What's going on, guys?
All right.
The road to the Super Bowl goes through New Orleans.
Correct.
And I just want to say, who that? Yeah,
who dat,
man.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Saints are good.
That was a heck of a game, I'll tell you.
We're talking about it after the game there, brother.
That's right, dude. You got that right, brother.
What do you mean, brother? What's up with you, brother?
We have been pretty tough on Zach Streif, the Saints announcer, but you know, over the last few weeks, he has actually gotten better.
He has.
He really has.
I listened to him on Monday night. I listened to the Steelers today, but I listened to him on Monday night against Carolina. And him and Deuce, they were pretty good.
Chris, you always tell me I can find those local guys. You do know Deuce is an Ole Miss guy.
Who's that?
We've gotten Pierre's take on Jack Streif over the years. And
Zach,
we got a little
Zach,
bit.
Zach.
Jim, you said a little bit of approval. What is your full take? Because we've heard the Pierre side.
In the very beginning, I had my doubts, but he has gotten better. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy listening to him and Deuce now. They make a very good tandem, I think.
So, Perry, who's the old Miss guy?
Deuce McAllister is an old Miss guy.
Deuce is an old Miss guy. Okay,
yes,
there you go. Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right. Yep.
We have to see. There was a thing. There used to be this thing Fred Allen used to work in Petrillo, who was the guy that ran the music industry, and he used to work him into every show. We work in Northern Iowa, Iowa State, or Old Miss, or perhaps Mississippi State. We have five colleges that Perry can, if he can work somebody in a given show, he will do it.
And if we get a minute before the end of the show and we talk a little college basketball, I want to give a shout out to Drake, one of our local teams. They're putting together a pretty nice preseason, actually.
There you go. There you go. Okay. Well, thanks, Jim. That's good. And then congratulations to the Saints.
Oh, you betcha. And I want to say, as far as the college basketball preseason, our Tulane Green Wave is LSU is 9-3 these days.
That's pretty good.
That's good.
Yep.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It is about 45 after the hour. So let's do transition into some college football, some bowl talk. So Sean, why don't you just kind of preview a little bit on what's coming up on Saturday?
Well, we have, of course, Notre Dame Clemson. The Cotton Bowl, that's at 4 Eastern, mm-hmm. and then Alabama, Oklahoma, and the Orange Bowl at 8 Eastern. Alabama is favored, Clemson is favored.
And they're both favored by double digits.
Yes, they both are. But a lot of the bowl games so far have not been great, but how about Army?
Yeah.
This team, the team that almost upset a playoff team, Oklahoma, they should have really won that game against Oklahoma, putting 70 on Houston.
Yeah. I bet you that's the most the Service Academy's ever scored, because the Service Academy never run the ball. And, you know, I mean, they don't do that. And, you know, Army, and they were like terrible 2 and 3 years ago. Navy had beaten them about 8 years in a row. They were like winning 2 and 3 games a year. They were just not happening at all. And I don't know who their coach is,
I'll do another jukebox.
whoever it is, he's really turned it around for the cadet.
While we're talking college football, those, by the way, those two games, both of them will be on both ESPN and ESPN Radio. So if you want radio,
yes,
you get ESPN. But if you have SiriusXM, they are doing something this year, and I think they started doing it last year. They will be offering feeds from all three, ESPN Radio, and both of the school feeds are offering.
Yes. Yes, they are. So that's good.
And next week we'll get into some of the big bowl games, but except for time. But college, on the college basketball, not a whole lot. I mean, there was some good games. Just that Villanova just beat up on UConn.
Absolutely.
Kentucky, North Carolina, pretty
interesting.
But Auburn went down in midweek to NC State. Auburn was number 7 in the country. That was probably the big upset.
Yeah, like I said, I wanted to give a little bit of a shout out to Drake. They're putting together a good season. I mean, New Mexico State is not a great team, but that was a nice win for Drake in Vegas. Yeah. They're playing San Diego as we speak. So, shout out
and
to
BC,
them.
BC went into DePaul yesterday and beat them. And DePaul's had a good start. And BC went into Chicago and came from behind with about 5 minutes to go. By 9 and beat them in Chicago, and that was a good win for BC. I think they're 9-2. So, you want to get, if you're looking to make the NCAA, you want to get as many wins, of course, in the pre-conference schedule. Then if you're in a power conference, and would you guys, we know the five power conferences, the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten, the Pac-10, and the Big 12. But would
and
you say, that's what I'm asking, John. What would you say, what would you add for the other three or four power conferences in basketball? Big East.
In basketball, you have your Big Six, which is the Big East, because none of them play football or none of them play Division I-A football. Then your next level down, I would say you have the Atlantic 10.
Right.
And the America Conference, because of
AAC,
what's going on with the AAC. They're your next level. Then you have, I would say, the Mountain West and West Coast Conference.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, no, Conference USA is not really. All the Conference USA teams that were good are in the AAC now.
Okay.
But, I mean, Conference USA is okay, but the West Coast Conference, mainly because of BYU, Gonzaga, St. Mary's, and you got the Mountain, and a little bit of the San Diego Toreros, but, like, the Mountain West, you got your New Mexico, Colorado State, UNLV, San Diego State, those schools are good. But, probably,
and don't forget the Missouri Valley. The Missouri Valley will step
up. The Missouri Valley was down the last couple of years, but the Missouri Valley is in that top 11. They're in that next level down. I would say, like I said, you have the America and the Atlantic 10 right behind the Big Six, and you have the Mountain West, the West Coast, and Missouri Valley probably all right in there.
But that's subject to change. I think what we're saying is that's the way it kind of lines up preseason before the conference starts to play. Then you start to look at it and you say, who is going to get into the tournament? And as we get into February and March, you could see that a couple of those could move up into the top, seven or eight,
By the way, Pierre, I see that you're there, and we'll get to you in just a second.
Okay.
Pierre. Yeah, all right. Let's go ahead for Pierre. Let's see what
he has. Let's go ahead and get to Pierre. Pierre, are you there?
Okay.
Who that say they going to beat them Saints? Who that?
I don't know. Oh, you've been yelling too much. Well, wait a minute. You were probably just yelling at Teresa, so I forget
about it. Okay. But, I'm just wondering next week if they're even going to play the starters for the Saints.
No. Saints will let everybody rest. Saints will let everybody rest. They don't need anything. Patriots have done this before.
They
get the number one.
They may play them just a little bit, Chris,
but they're all
that bye week.
But their offensive line is so beat up that
everybody's going to rest.
They're having to play third stringers right now.
That's what they'll do. And the thing is, when you get locked in, Dallas will not play their folks. Saints won't play their guys. If it depends on who's locked in by the end of the – and that drives fantasy players crazy because you're still trying to do stuff sometimes in some leagues. We have what we call in our league a scramble thing where you just pick the people that are trying to play. And, we still have our teams going. We're still trying to make the playoffs because we have a different kind of setup than, you heard today all through the day – about championship week. And that's the reason they do that, because you don't even know who's going to play. Right now we know
the NFL crazy. It drives the NFL crazy too, Chris.
Yeah.
And y'all asking about Jack Streiff, that man has improved 100%.
Yes.
Oh, you should have heard him today, man. He was yelling and screaming. He was all excited.
But no, wait a minute, though, Pierre. He still is not Jim.
Oh, no, Henderson. He's not Jim Henderson. No.
No, but he's coming along, and I could listen. I was planning. See, I'm not a big Mick Mixon fan. I think he's a little strange. I like the guys that are with him, Jim Zocchi and Eugene Robinson. But I'm not a big Mick Mixon fan, but I was prepared to switch over to Carolina if Zach Streiff drove me crazy, but he didn't. So I stuck with him last week.
And that's another topic I think that we hit once everything cools down is, you know, announcers and things like that too.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, right now it's 7-3 and Kansas City losing.
Okay.
All right. Well, there you go. Pierre, with our score update, as usual.
That's good news for us AFC fans because, again, we create an 11-5 logjam. Who the heck knows what's going to happen?
And transitioning, since it is Christmas, Christmas Day is like the big day for the NBA.
It is. I've got to grab my...
And while you grab the schedule, a couple news items that came out of the NBA. Of course, this last week, the Houston Rockets set an all-time record for most three-point shots in a game. They hit 26 three-pointers. So
wow.
Yeah. So let's get to Christmas Day, and what
Christmas
are we doing?
Day,
Chris Paul is out for what he injured, so that's going to hurt the Rockets.
So. Okay, so we've got a bunch of games on Christmas, a quintuple header, as they say. All right, and here we go. I'm almost here. Here we go. Tuesday the 25th starts off at noontime. Milwaukee at the Knicks, 12 p.m. on ESPN. And, of course, these will all be on SiriusXM and so forth. Then on we go on to Oklahoma City at Houston, 3 p.m. on ABC. We have Philadelphia at the Celtics, 5:30 p.m. on ABC. Last I heard, the Charlotte Hornets had already gone on Christmas vacation because the Celtics were ahead by about 20 with one quarter to go. We'll find out about that. The fourth game is the Lakers at Golden State. That's a good one. 8:00. That's going to be on ABC and ESPN. And the last game is Portland at Utah, 10:30 p.m. on ESPN. So those are going to be some good games.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Like I said, NBA, really get into NBA as we start taking off. But
what the NBA, you know, what the NBA likes is the stars to be playing. And you look at those teams. You got LeBron, you got Kyrie, you got Jimmy Butler, you got Steph Curry, you got a bunch of stars.
Giannis.
A bunch of stars playing, you know. So that's what they like.
Yes. And, well, let me see. We got a few minutes, so.
What about baseball? Any baseball news?
Yes, let's hit that while we have it. The Reds and the Dodgers pulled off a big trade on Friday. Yasiel Puig, Matt Kemp, and Alex Wood were the names that went. And Kyle Farmer, I guess people have heard of him. They went to the Reds, and Homer Bailey went to the Dodgers, and Homer has already been released. So,
yeah. There you go.
And it sounds like in Cincinnati, Bill, if you want to come on and tell us, it sounds like it's getting some pretty good reviews in Cincinnati so far.
Well, Cincinnati had nothing to lose. They had nothing whatsoever to lose to at least rent these guys for a year. They were going nowhere with Homer Bailey. He won one game last year. They got rid of his contract. They took on this additional money, but this guy's, you know, these guys can put some offense and, you know, another starter that is probably, even though he's inconsistent, is better than any of the starters the Reds had last year.
Right.
Well, the other thing, Bill, they can do is
put
them...
It sounds like with these outfielders, they're going to combine with Philip Irvin and Scott Schebler. By the way, Scott Schebler is an Iowan too, Chris.
There you go.
But it sounds like they're going to combine with the new guys and that's your outfit.
The other thing they could do, Bill, that's important to the Reds ownership is put butts in the seats because, you know, people at Christmas time, they look at it and say, oh, we got Puig, we got this, you know, and they're going to go out and maybe buy a couple extra tickets here and there. And, you know, I mean, you don't want to just have the sellout on opening day and have the rest of it be kind of, you know, 10,000 people. So, you know, you can tell when you listen to Reds games, and you hear them plugging all the things around Cincinnati to do and this and that. And I love the way they package their games because it's very interesting compared to other people. They don't necessarily talk about the team. They're talking about you can go to this place, that place, come to Cincinnati.
Right.
They're talking to people from Kentucky and Indiana and other places and want them to come in. And I'm always interested in other parts of Ohio. I'm always interested in the way they package it because the Reds haven't been that good for a while. So it's kind of hard to say. You know, you don't hear the Cubs and Red Sox packages the same way. Let's put it that way.
And by the way, Pierre, real quick, before we let Sean hit the feel-good stories, it sounds like that the Cubs are back in maybe on Bryce Harper because it sounds like they want to clear some Hayward money and stuff like that. I don't know what I think about that. What do you think?
I was going to say, do we really want him?
I don't think you do because, I mean, if you've already got one bad contract, why do you want to, you know, just trade that for another? But it sounds like they want to do it if they can. And the Dodgers, of course, are in on Harper. We know Manny Machado is not going to do anything until after New Year's.